So I was 34 years old, and for the first time ever, I was like, what do I want to do with my life?
Really? You and I have actually known each other for a while, but we've really only engaged, I was trying to count, like only a couple times. Mm. And the thing I'm really curious about, and I'm similarly curious about this, and I've been watching more closely, Matthew Wenger. Mm. So Matthew Wenger had started early on with his business of focusing totally on high end. Mm-hmm. And like, you know, his business, the print work. Sure. And it's even gotten higher end, and sure, he's stuck to his guns on that. And in the early days, floating around small business and solopreneurs, I was like, you're crazy. You just need to go make some money for your family. Now, ever since I've known you, though, you followed a similar track, and that you were always down with. I don't even know if you were were you calling it luxury trips when we first met? Because you were doing some school stuff too.
So when I started my business, the entire track that it was going to be on was luxury. Mm. So Lugos Travel was and always has been and always will be completely luxury.
Okay.
So my analysis of the market is that the middle ground in travel, mm-hmm, is fast disappearing. There's no way that I can keep up with the contracts or the price points and scale that Travelocity, Orbitz,
okay,
Expedia, and stuff like that have. That's a non-competing thing. And so okay, a lot of people,
okay,
a lot of people who are in the travel agent business, it's a dying thing. Like, and so my analysis of the market right off the bat was that there is no way I can compete, and so why try? So the only thing that I can, in fact, sell, mm-hmm, is what's up here. And right, it's not about,
okay,
it's not about the, it's not about the hotel, because that's ubiquitous.
Yep.
Anyone can click a button.
Airbnb or whatever they think. Yeah,
right.
Yeah.
And so everything is about, mm, what can I create as an experience, mm, around the travel. And that is where I can provide value. So Lugos, okay, Travel started that way, mm-hmm, and has continued that way. Now, two major offshoots have kind of come from that.
Okay.
So several years ago, I met a contact in France, and so France has a government-subsidized student program which allows honestly anybody under like 25, 26 years old to be able to experience sports that are typically more expensive and cost prohibitive to most families,
okay,
for a highly discounted rate. And they've, uh-huh, been doing this for over 60 years, and as a result it's now open to anybody regardless of your income, so they don't really care.
Okay.
And essentially, so I thought of that as a pretty cool opportunity to be able to provide students in America, because they opened it up to other countries.
Okay, yeah.
The ability to go skiing or snowboarding in, mm-hmm, 25 locations in the French Alps.
Oh, wow. This is a college kid's wet dream. It's, yeah, like, oh my gosh.
Well,
yeah.
Paragliding.
Okay.
Scuba diving. Learning to sail a catamaran. Biking, hiking,
interesting,
and several other sports. Okay, and so essentially we had the ability to do that in France, or for the summer activities like scuba diving and such, surfing,
you know,
things like that, in Martinique.
Yeah,
and what we were able to offer students here was 7 days, all expenses, food, accommodations, transportation, equipment rentals, plus 12 hours of professional licensed instruction in any of those things.
Okay.
We could do that between $900 and $1,500 a week.
What?
Mm-hmm.
And so, wait, when was this? Because you started with this, because I remember this student thing from back
then.
That
was break vacations,
because
I thought it was great to take a break, spring break, winter break, summer break.
Yeah, yeah.
And so we started that, oh, it's been several years. Now, as it is, I killed it because, quite honestly, I don't have the marketing resources to scale in that space.
Yeah.
And so it became more of a distraction.
Interesting. So the marketing... Okay.
So, you know, maybe someday we'll revisit it, but honestly, I'm ready to divest and sell the IP.
So these were $1,500 trips.
Yeah.
And then...
the whole week. Just the only thing that didn't include was flights.
Sure. But still, it's a killer deal.
Ridiculous.
Especially for a college kid, and that's, you know, his parents could go, oh, okay, I'll send you for 2 weeks or something like that.
Well, not only that, but we can do groups up to 250. So we can
what?
Do an entire fraternity and sorority. We could do, you know, multiples. We could have sent, we could have, if we had 180 kids,
mm-hmm.
We would have chartered a plane for them. It would have been cheaper than yeah. going domestic.
And so then, like, you made a really good statement that I really want to zero in on real quick, and that was we didn't have the marketing resources to scale that. Contrast that to the decision to focus on these high-end luxury experience trips and
sure.
why you had the marketing resources for that. What is the difference in marketing?
I don't have to have hundreds of people for that.
Mm.
So for the luxury space, it's really all about, you know, I can do very well with 150, 180 people a year.
Oh, wow. Okay. And so when did you start focusing on the experiences, like, entirely?
So that came, then came distraction number two.
Okay.
And distraction number two was Lakeland Travel Agent. And so one of my good friends, who is also my IT guy, he's like, hey man, I just saw that Lakeland Travel Agent is a domain name that, like, you can have. He's like, and if you buy it, he's like, you will be at the very top of all Google rankings in Lakeland without paying a dime. And I was like, okay.
Let's do that, yeah.
Let's do that. So we bought that domain. We made a decent looking web page.
Mm-hmm.
And honestly, I still have that, and it's just lead gen. So anybody in Lakeland or anywhere around this area who Googles just travel agent,
yeah,
I'm number one.
And then how, if you're in the luxury market, what's the conversion for those sorts of leads?
Not very good, which is why it's
yeah.
distraction number two. So,
okay.
So distraction number two was like, okay, well, great. I'll have, like, all these people calling, which we do and we have. But I end up really just saying no to most of that. So,
gotcha.
So, like, for example, like cruising, I just won't do a cruise unless
like ethical reasons or
just it's a waste of my time.
Interesting.
You know? Like your average Carnival cruise is, you know, what is it, like $150 to $400 a person, and my net is maybe $15 to $40.
Mm.
And so, like, how many of those do I have to do to, you know, pay for an employee? Well, too many. Like,
gotcha.
So I will only do cruising if it's a minimum of 10 rooms and,
okay.
Like, groups. It's a low time threshold to take care of that.
Mm.
And then from there, you know, we can take care of that pretty quick.
Yeah.
So as far as distractions one and two, for all intents and purposes, I've killed both of them.
Okay.
Lakeland Travel Agent still exists in the sense that people still call me, but I, like I said, I mostly say no.
And so, like, you launched, when we just met for, when we just ran into each other, you talked about Experience 007.
Yeah.
And you, like, lit up. So
yeah.
I want to go into it, but before that, I want to actually ask, like, you've done travel as long as I've been familiar with who you are.
Mm.
Why? Why travel?
That's an excellent question. So so for that, we had to go all the way back to when I was a kid. And so my mom is from Paris, France. My dad is literally like old school Florida cracker. So I'm fifth generation Floridian.
Yeah.
Which is relatively rare. And and so they met in West Palm Beach, both working at the Breakers Hotel. And so the funny story is that my mom would not date my dad because they both worked together. It wouldn't happen. So she
okay.
was like, you got to quit. And like months and months and months go by and my dad finally quit. And So he quit because he got another job, and his other job was to drill for oil. And so for the training, they flew him to Tehran, Iran.
Wow.
And almost concurrently, my mom got a transfer within the Breakers organization, and she could go anywhere she wanted to. And she decided that she would go to Tehran, Iran, and do one of, this is like the 70s.
Yeah.
And so she was like, well, you know, we can date now. And so she literally shows up, and my dad was shipping out 3 days later.
What?
So they got engaged and married in 3 days so that she could come with him.
Okay.
Yeah. So fun fact, I was actually, almost like right after that, my dad lost his luggage and they were stuck in a hotel room for like a couple of days, and ta-da, here I am.
Here's Shane Mahoney enters the scene.
So I think travel pretty much right off the bat started as my thing.
Interesting.
But my dad ended up working in an exploratory ship in the Indian Ocean. And so, I mean, for all intents and purposes, this is like the Wild Wild West. They had no idea what they were doing, but wow. They would just like, they would go like, oh, no, no, let's drill here. Sure. Okay. Nope. We didn't see any oil. Let's go over here.
Okay.
So
wow.
This just happened for years. And so as a result, my family, me, my brother and my mom and dad, we lived in Borneo for a year. We lived in
Australia
for a year.
You have memories of these places.
I have no memory of Borneo.
Okay.
But I have memories of Australia.
Okay.
So I lived in Australia for 3 years. And then we moved back to West Palm Beach. And then my dad got a job with Linder Corporation in Lakeland.
Yeah.
And we moved here, and it was fourth grade for me. And then I think my parents just really felt guilty about moving a lot as, you know, with the kids. And so, so they decided to stick here much to my chagrin at the time.
Yeah.
So we were completely ready to move. We had never lived anywhere longer than 3 years. So
okay.
I remember the third year we were in Lakeland, like we had a family meeting and we were like, so like, where are we moving? and it was like, whoa, we're not moving. And so I graduated high school here.
Wow.
And I was like, psh, I'm out. I'm like, I'm never coming back. I think a lot of people from Lakeland can probably relate to that.
Yeah.
And so I went to college, got a job in Dallas, Texas, went from there to Jacksonville, Florida, from there to Palm Harbor. And then just eventually, when I started my business, I thought, you know, Lakeland's changed a lot,
yeah.
For starters. Definitely caught up to the world. and for me, starting my business, it made sense to have a little bit more of a community that I was relatively familiar with and mm-hmm. have a lot of people that I knew. It didn't hurt that I was, 45 minutes from two major airports,
yep.
with lots of gateways all over the world. And and I'd spent the last like 11 years before moving back here traveling personally, to Russia. I'd been an exchange student in Barcelona for 6 months in high school.
Mm.
So like travel was just sort of my thing. But what happened was that I had never asked myself the question, what do you want to do with your life?
Yeah.
And I had graduated college. I got a great job. That great job led into other great jobs, but great in the sense that they paid well, not great in the sense that I really loved what I was doing.
Yeah, of course.
And so I was 34 years old, and for the first time ever, I was like, what do I want to do with my life?
Really?
Yeah.
Do you remember what caused that? What caused you to ask that question?
Yeah, couple things. I had broken up with a girl. Was questioning a lot of like, oh, what did I do wrong? but I had also been trying to start a company doing pervious pavement, and it was failing. And so I was like, you know, if I'm going to go back and do something, I want to do something I want to do. For the first time in my life, I really wanted to work from a position of passions.
Yes.
Of things that I genuinely cared about. And so the funny thing about how this manifested is, I had no idea where to start.
Yeah.
And so I was like, okay, I love to ski.
Yeah.
I'm going to go be a ski bum in France.
Yeah, man.
I'll learn to be a ski instructor, and then I'll, like, figure out the rest.
Yep.
And so, terrible, terrible plan, but it was what I had.
What made it a terrible plan?
Because I'm sitting there thinking, like, oh, okay, like, a ski instructor is going to make, like, what, 35, 40
so
grand?
So what's your earning,
guy? Right? Like, yeah. Like, what's retirement going to look like? I'm, like, 34, you know, divorced once. You know, things are not, like, at the top of the game like they had been just, you know, 5 years earlier. And so anyway, I was like, eh, whatever, I don't really care.
Gotcha.
So I was like 3 weeks away from like selling all of my stuff and just making a move.
Yeah.
And my mom, God bless her, she knew it was not a good plan, but she found an article in France Magazine of a guy who had been a 20-year plus real estate broker in Colorado.
Okay.
And he sold everything, moved to France, and started a ski school. And I was like, what? This guy knows exactly what I feel like.
Yeah.
So I wrote him a long email.
So you reached out to a dude who
did
it.
I reached out to him, and I was like, you get me? Like, and I want to do what you're doing. Can I have a job being a ski instructor where you are? And where he is, by the way, is Megève, France, which is phenomenal.
You actually went to work for this guy.
So, no.
Oh, yeah. Okay. So you wrote him.
So I wrote him a long email. He wrote me one back the next day. And the next day after that, we spoke for almost 4 hours.
What?
Life-changing. And so what he was like, he's like, look, he's like, what you don't know is, like, the ski industry in France is completely different than in the United States. He's like, so you work 6 months out of the year, great, just like the same, but you make like $85,000 to $95,000 a year. And I was like, what? So, you know, my face just like dropped. I'm like, this is amazing. Like, this is much better. Like, I get to work 6 months and make that kind of money. I'm in. He's like, well, but it's a 5-year program. It's going to cost as much as college.
Wow.
Yeah. And so he's like, you're going to be 39 years old graduating versus like 20-something year olds. He's like, so it's not the best environment for you. He's like, and if you choose to teach and you don't have your license and they catch you, and they will, he's like, their way of dealing with it is to drive you to the border, take your passport, and say bye.
What?
Yeah, right. Okay. I was like, that was really bad. So he goes, you know, we spoke for so long that he says, you know, look, he says, you sound like you could probably bring Americans here to ski. And I was like, you know, maybe. And he goes, you should be a tour operator. And I was like, what is a tour operator? So here I am. I had literally been around the world 4.5 times or more. You know, I speak Spanish, a little bit of French. I had never used a travel agent. I had no idea what a tour operator was.
Oh, wow.
And so I was like, okay, well, let me educate myself on what this is. So I spent several weeks figuring it out, because I was like, I have 3 weeks anyway, so let's just do this. And so the difference between a travel agent and a tour operator is vast. But essentially, a travel agent sells what tour operators put together.
Okay.
So, so travel agents don't, as a general rule, like if you said I wanted to go to Argentina and I want to you know, shoot doves and things like that in Argentina and go check out like the Iguazu Falls. So what a travel agent typically does is they go and find a tour operator that has a tour that includes those things.
Yeah.
And then they sell that. So the tour operator puts it together, they sell it to the travel agent, the travel agent sells it to you. There's a markup all along the way.
Gotcha.
And then, you know, you go on this, the client goes on this relatively canned experience based on kind of an everyman kind of thing. Which I was like, well, I'm clearly not going to be a travel agent.
Yeah,
so,
yeah.
But a tour operator, I liked the idea of the freedom of being able to do it how I wanted to do it.
Sure.
Like, I kind of had this arc of traveling, whereas in college, I didn't have a lot of money, but I had a lot of time.
Sure.
And so that usually equates to, like, you know, it's great for hostels and
yeah.
backpacking and not really making a plan and kind of figuring out where you're going to go. And that was awesome. Like, and I really enjoyed that.
Yeah.
But then as I had gotten a little bit older, my income had come up, you know, I had gotten more accustomed to a better place to sleep, a little better meals, you know, a couple of the amenities, I guess, if you will. And so I had seen that the transition, I believe, into adulthood comes from lots of time and no money to lots of money and no time.
Sure.
And so
lots of time and no money and lots of money and no time. That's the transition. Okay.
It's literally like
that's what we do.
I mean, you can chart it, right?
Yeah,
like
yeah.
The more money you make, the more you work, the more you work, the less time you have. And then what I found was that people end up taking the same vacation over and over and over again. Because it's super simple to plan. You know exactly where you're going to stay. You know the bartender, you know, Bob is going to make your drinks just the way you want them. Like, it's simple. You didn't have to think about it. It took no time to plan, and you can just go.
Because travel can also be stressful.
Super stressful, right?
Yeah.
And I think the biggest stress about travel is that you're not willing to spend money to maybe have a good time.
To maybe. And I like that. Because you're, because like it, in the end, it's economics. Like, even though, like, why do we vacation? Why do we travel? And you're right. Like, early on, we're trying to get these experiences. Later on, we're just trying to get the hell away from whatever controls our life. And at the same time, there's this, like, I'm already stressed out. I'd rather just lay at home, you know? And so there's this dichotomy, and you knew that being a travel agent wouldn't do that. Like, did you at that time make the conscious decision that tour operator might be, or definitely?
That was definitely it.
Definitely. Because
so
you can create experience.
I sat down with my mom and my grandmother and I was like, I'm going to do this. And they were like, but this is a dying industry. Like, because they thought what everybody else thought, which is like Expedia and Orbitz and,
travel,
you know, and all this stuff has like ensconced in this market. Like, what could you possibly do? And I was like, look, I was like, there is literally no plan B. This is plan A,
wow.
B, C. This is everything. Like, this is the only thing I'm
Was there no risk in your heart at that point? Just because you were so certain?
I was positive.
And what drew that certainty? Because a lot of people start something. They have an unction, right? They wake up, they eat the right piece of pizza, they burp, and they go, I want to do this for life. But then, like, conflict hits. But, like, in your case, there's a certainty. And as long as I've known you, there's been a certainty. And you don't seem like a guy who thinks about or perceives, like, business risk.
No, I am. I'm pretty risky, I guess. Yeah.
Interesting.
You know, here's the thing. Life is short. And it's as simple as this. I was like, if somebody else is selling trips at this level, doing what they're doing, then I know I can make it better than what they're doing. And I know I can make it. Like, if I can make a trip better than the best that's out there. And I had benchmarked, you know, Abercrombie and Kent.
Butterfield
and Robinson and Mikado and, like, a lot of the top. I studied the market relentlessly. I knew that the, you know, at the time, the overall travel market wasn't very good because it was, 2011, so we were still a little bit in the,
post-market.
You know, in the post-market crash. And, but all the stats were there. You know, within the next 5 years, we were going to exceed $1 trillion international, $1 trillion spent globally in luxury market. It was going to be 1 billion international travelers per year. Not in the US, but globally. And I was like, you know, 5 to 10% of the luxury market was being marketed to at all.
Really?
That's actually still the fact.
Wow.
Yeah. So I was like, you know, a lot of these companies that have built, you know, 50, 60 year pedigrees, just trade on that name. They don't really do a lot of advertising. So if you don't know, you go and look into it, and then you find what you find.
Yeah.
And so, you know, a lot of these companies do things really, really well. But there's still spaces in which they could improve.
Mm.
And so I saw the little pieces that we could move. Now, I mean, I got extraordinarily lucky right off the bat. A very, very good friend of mine from back in high school was celebrating his 10-year anniversary.
Okay.
And he took the chance, like, okay, yeah, you know, I'll spend almost $20,000 on my, you know, 10-year anniversary with you.
Okay.
So it gave me the ability to actually put into practice some of the things that I thought. And, you know, I spent countless hours researching, you know, hotels and transportation and guides and all kinds of things. And these are items that I still use in that exact same part because I did the research up front to make sure that they were quality first.
And I think some of the competitors you listed too, I remember I worked for this real estate developer or real estate investor for a few years, and he took one of his lifetime trips. He had hit his number in this seven, if not eight, I think it was eight figures. He hit his lifetime number and said, that's it, I'm out, and like kind of tossed me the keys and said, hey, manage my real estate and, you know, collecting checks, and I failed at that horribly. But the trips he took, even though, like, I got all those luxury magazines, and I'm flipping through them, and I'm going, meh. What it looked like is some of the trips, like, there was a cruise for millionaires only. You had to prove net worth.
Sure.
And show net worth to just take the trip.
Right.
And I thought, okay, that's kind of cool. You're doing the same thing other people do, but you're at least rubbing shoulders and networking. That was kind of cool. And it was a very extensive trip. But then they did, you know, Palace on Wheels and a bunch of other stuff. And I was realizing that most of the thinking about you now in hindsight, the luxury market, it's still doing the same practices. It just goes, okay, instead of finding a street vendor for lobster, we're going to do really expensive lobster. Yay. But you have actually, and I'm sure there's others who do this, but I've never heard of them that actually go, listen, you're luxury, so you could afford an experience crafted. And I think we could talk about some of them that you described before. Like you mentioned, you know, hiring paparazzi at one point and doing this sort of thing for people.
We do that standard.
Okay, that's just standard. So tell me about
tours.
So let's then profile what an experienced tour operator is like, and using experienced 007 as an example.
So experienced 007 would be probably the tippy top. Like, I would rather actually tell you first about like what's just standard with my company.
Okay.
So that would kind of set a baseline, and then you can see what goes on top of that to make an experienced 007. So, you know, several different things that I found were really important. So, and all of this is based on experience, but the photography package, since you touched on it, let's do that first. So photography is, vacation photography specifically, is something that I think has long sucked, right?
The slideshow.
You know, like, well, you know, like, think about, like, every one of your friends who's ever gone on vacation and what their pictures look like.
Same.
Like, okay, you probably got like 60% of them are like landscape shots that, as well as they may be, don't do the reality justice. Like, if you're sitting in front of the Grand Canyon versus the picture of the Grand Canyon on your iPhone, those are not the same.
It's not the same experience at all.
And then the other, then you got like another 20% of the pictures are like selfie style.
Yep.
Right. And then like another 10% are like, hey, I'm pushing up the Leaning Tower of Pisa, you know, perspective shots. And then like another 10% is like where you play what I call the hoping game. So the hoping game is where you hand your camera or your phone to somebody else, and you hope that they can frame it, hope that they can put it in focus, hope that they don't steal it.
Yep.
Like, you just, you hope, right? Yeah. And you're just like, and there's not been, there's like, how many of those actually come out well?
Oh, yeah.
Like, maybe none of them. Okay, so what you get is a series of shots that I call great for your Facebook wall. But at my house, we have this wall where, you know, my wife, my kid, you know, special places that we've been, like the best of the best go on the wall. And those memories are what I care about the most. And I can look at any of those pictures and remember the whole vacation, the story, like what happened that day. Like, and if your vacation sucked, but you put a picture of that, like from that up on the wall, then you're going to remember the whole time my vacation sucked. So what I came up with was a pictures on the wall philosophy. And I wanted to create an experience that was good enough that any picture from that experience up on your family wall would trigger nothing but good memories.
Oh, wow. That's a tall order.
Okay. I don't shoot for the middle. And then the execution of that is you cannot play the hoping game. It cannot be a selfie. And so what does that leave? Well, you know, what's really cool is we're living in a bit of a gig economy, right? And so what I found was you can find phenomenal photographers anywhere in the world. And they're just sitting around waiting for stuff to happen. And so what I did was I offered it at first as an option. And I had this couple, I had several people that took me up on it, but it was this one couple celebrating their 50th anniversary that like nailed it for me. And so they were particularly into gardening, and so they were in Dublin, and I took them to a place called Powers Court Estate. So Powers Court Estate is the number 3 or 4 garden in the world. Ridiculous. huge place. And so what I did is I hired a very, very professional photographer named Barry McCall, who has shot like covers of Vogue and like you name it, right? And because I was like, this is their 50th anniversary. I was like, let's just do it right. Let's see what this looks like when it's done right. So they had two photographers on site for 2 hours, and they took pictures of my couple, but not posed shots. The couple, that I told the photographers, I was like, look, I was like, I do not want this to be like a wedding photography session. I do not want you to be like head here, shoulders back, do this, stand there, do this. None of that. I was like, clients paid me for an experience to go and enjoy themselves. I want them to go and enjoy themselves. I want you to make it look good. Like, it's your job to like bring that out. And so they really liked the project. And I'll tell you, this is like, this is the coolest one, right? So like, if you can imagine like this napkin as a lake, right? And in the middle of this lake, it was not like a Lake Hollingsworth kind of lake. It was, I don't know, maybe like 100 yards all the way across, right? But in the middle of this lake was a beautiful fountain. And on the far end of the lake was a bench. And my clients just decided to sit there by themselves and have a conversation and enjoy the scenery, okay? Now, the photographer went all the way around the lake, took a picture of the lake, the fountain, and them in the background, and everything is in focus. It was literally magical. And right then, I look at that picture still today, and I'm like, just imagine what that would be like. Hey, sir, can you take a picture of my wife and I, but, you know, like, walk 5 minutes around
make
the lake.
Make it perfect.
Get it all in focus, you know, and then walk back my camera, you know what I mean? It was like, it would never, ever happen. And based on that based on that photograph alone, I said, this is not an option anymore. Like, this is something that every single client of mine should have. Now, if they don't want to have it or they want to save some money, cool, no problem. Some people are taking a trip that's like, you know, like a guy's trip to Vegas. Maybe we don't need to have the pictures.
But when you do a base package, though. Well, and real quick, if I may, talk really quickly about this concept in business. People are not talking about the experience, and they don't have the luxury, they don't have the profit margins to do that. So they're not stumbling into this linchpin aspect of the product. Like you said, some people might opt out, but they didn't know what it is they wanted until they saw that thing framed.
Nobody knows what they want. Nobody knows what they want. Every single client of mine is educated on what exactly should be included. Because you know, like, I'll give you a great example. A lot of people come up to me and they say, you know, Shane, I want to do this great thing. I want to go to this great place. And I don't really care about the hotel. That's just a place to sleep.
Mm-hmm.
And I call BS. Okay.
Okay. Right. Why?
And I'll tell you why. It's because I can agree with that philosophy if you're on a business trip, right? Yeah. Like you go to Atlanta for a business trip for the weekend. Yeah, you're right. It is just a place to sleep. Okay. But if you are going on your vacation, a honeymoon, an anniversary, you're there with your family, like the hotel needs to be, first of all, well located.
Yeah.
Okay. And so, like, the cheaper hotels are usually on the outskirts of town,
yep.
Okay? And so what happens then is all the interesting things are in the inside of town. And so you wanted to save money, and so now you've created a situation where now you need 45 minutes to an hour to get to all the things that you want to do.
Yep.
And now, that's great. Okay, sure, you did that in the morning. You had your lunch, and then you thought, you know, I wouldn't mind taking a nap. It's my vacation. So then you have another 45 minutes, an hour back to your hotel. Mm. Then you take your nap. And then you're thinking, I want to go have dinner. And then are you really going to take that 45 minutes to an hour to come back to town to go have your dinner just to take another 45 minutes to an hour to go back? You're saving money. Just cost you time, which you don't have on a vacation.
Yeah.
It costs you money, which, again, messes up the value equation.
Yep.
And so what I do, first of all, is like, where can I get you a hotel that's within walking distance of most of the things you would want to do anyway?
Yeah.
And then I say, okay, well, the hotel is also the very last place you're going to see.
Yeah.
You're going to spend the most time in that place than anywhere else, 12-ish hours a day. And it's the first thing you see in the morning. So how is your experience different if you open up the windows and you have this beautiful view in this really nice hotel room than it is if, you know, you have this cheap hotel over here, right?
And so, that usually makes luxury. So
it does.
How you travel and where you stay, I mean, and you're talking about other things that no one would have thought of, like me. I never would have thought that a photo professional photographer would have made that luxury. It does. But when I think, hey, I took a really nice trip, when me and Marissa reflect on that, we go, oh man, that hotel, or we traveled by means that were like extraordinary. You know, like and you definitely remember the ones that sucked. We flew to California, and for some reason we decided Frontier. And this was the mistake. I would fly on Frontier to Atlanta, maybe.
Yeah.
But we took that five-hour flight.
Yeah.
But similarly, I stayed in Madrid. We stayed in Madrid in, I think it was 2004. And it was awesome experience. We decided to stay in town, and we found, Airbnb wasn't around. I don't even know how we found this place. It was like a rental. And it had paper-thin walls. We heard the neighborhoods. It was about the size of this freaking room, and that's what I remember. Now, I also remember all the experiences, but like me and Mr. Rich Guy can also
couch.
Walk. Yeah, we can walk to all the sites. We can go to the Prado. What we can't share is that nice hotel or that nice travel means.
Well, after planning hundreds of vacations,
what
I've found is that absolutely nobody wants to vacation at a level below how they live.
Man, say that again. I like that. No one?
Nobody wants to vacation at a level below how they live.
That is crazy. Okay.
No, nobody. Right? You don't go on vacation to be homeless. That wouldn't jive, right?
Yeah.
So like,
wow.
So what do you want to do? And so like in the luxury space, you know, I can't get you a hotel that's like worse than your house.
Yeah.
Because then you're like, it's the wrong kind of vacation at that point.
Yeah.
And conversely, like, I'll tell you this funny story.
Yeah.
I literally had this guy who called me up, and he says, I want to go to Vegas with my wife. And I was like, okay, like, my first instinct with Vegas is, like, I want to have, like, no part of this at all. But I asked some questions and kind of probed. And he says, it's my 20th anniversary. And I started to perk up because I thought, you know, anniversaries are usually when you do something special. When you do something special is usually when I want to get involved, right?
Yeah.
And So he goes, you know, we want to have a nice hotel, but it didn't have to be anything too crazy. And I was like, okay, well, do you want to be on the new strip or the old strip?
Yeah.
And he says, the old strip's fine. And I was like, okay, nostalgic, cool. And like, it tends to smell a little bit because they haven't cleaned those carpets or replaced them in 30 years. But, you know, okay. Now, at that point, I already know there's no chance I'm going to do this tour.
Yeah.
But I started to ask questions because I'm a sadist. And
we do that. That's entrepreneurship.
He says, you know, I want to do the zip line experience in the old Vegas Strip. And I was like, okay, cool. Well, that's like $50-ish dollars a person to go. And he's like, okay, cool. And then I told him, I was like, okay, well, I have this hotel here that's a pretty decent room for $45 a night. And he goes, ooh, I don't think we need to go that crazy.
What year was this?
Last year.
What? Okay.
Yeah, this is a Lakeland Travel Agent lead.
This isn't the luxury brand lead. No. This is the local.
This is the local lead. So I start sitting there. I'm like, sorry, sir, but did you just say that you would like to spend less per night on your hotel room than you do on a 15-minute excursion that you're going to do? A zip line for 15 minutes should be more expensive than the place you stay for your 20th anniversary. And so herein lies something that I can correlate to my luxury tours, right? If I do a trip for you to, let's say, for example, the Maldives.
Yeah.
Okay. For all 7 days, all inclusive food, alcohol, your butler, your seaplane transfers, your boat excursion to a fishing village, private beach barbecue, everything that we would typically do. Handline fishing.
Oh, really?
We go crazy. For the entire week at my most expensive place, you're going to be at like, let's assume overwater bungalow, you know, the whole nine with a private pool and everything. Okay. Okay. You might be at like $20,000.
Okay.
Now, that same person has the option of flying economy for as low as $1,000 a person.
Okay.
But probably more on average of like $1,400 or $1,500 per person.
Okay.
They can fly at premium economy at about $2,300 to $2,500 per person.
Yeah.
And they can fly a business or first class business class at about $5,000 to $6,000 per person.
Okay.
Or they could fly at first class, which is private suite on plane, upwards of $20,000 per person.
Okay. Wow.
So think about that experience. And what would you spend to get to something and get back from something?
Mm.
And so when you start looking at it, like, you know, I've had people that have spent as much on the business class flights as they did for the entire tour.
Wow.
Right? And that was literally, if you think about it, the cab ride on the way there.
Sure.
Now, all the things that happened in between, you know, equated to, $18,000 or something like that, and they spent $11,000 on the flights.
Interesting.
Right? So think about it. Like, that's 7-8 days, right?
Yeah.
Like, 7-8 days, and you spent almost the same just to get there.
Just
the transportation. So the idea of what it takes to take a good vacation is different for everybody.
Yeah.
And we can do that luxury experience for the 8 days and save you money on the flights.
Wow.
You know, if you want to. Because I look at it as like, man, I can sleep on a plane. You know, it doesn't matter.
And so let me ask this, because what I'm hearing too, and we've just got a few more minutes, especially based on the time.
Right.
I'm super curious about translating. How much do you think the principles you've learned about business, I mean, because you did some things that didn't work as well, but you've experimented with some things, and now you're in something that you love. It's allowing you to do what you love. But I do want to caveat that it's luxury.
Yeah.
How many of these principles do you think average business people, how many of these decisions do you think average business people should still be making? Like, what's transferable? Is it like, do you always have to stay in luxury because of your paradigm about business?
listen, like the biggest mistake you could make is thinking, well, my competitors only charge X number of profit, so that's all I can charge, okay?
Mm-hmm.
My thinking was always this, is if you are selling a standard experience, then you are not exercising your brain enough, okay? And if you are selling a standard experience, then yeah, you better be, I guess, on the standard as far as profit margin.
Yeah.
But my thinking is this, is if I'm creating something for you that cannot be duplicated by any other company worldwide and isn't, then why should I be charging you the same profit margin? If you think about, if you think about the price first, you're screwing up, okay? You need to think about the experience, because people do not care about price. They think they do. But the difference is, it's price versus value, okay?
Oh,
if you're thinking about price, then you need to change the conversation to value, because value is what you get. Price is just what you pay.
Yeah. Okay?
Now, I mean, like, I solve problems for my clients, and I do it in a sense that takes them no time out of their day from the minute they talk to me to the time they go.
Yeah.
Okay? That is worth something. I do it in a way that no other company is doing it. That is worth something. I thought about it from the experience first, and I built it from that first, and then I said, well, the profit is what it is. If you want to take the best tour you can possibly take, I'm your guy. If you want to save money, go to Expedia.
Interesting. And the challenge here, this is super challenging, because I started out with trying to solve a problem with the website company. We wanted to solve a problem, and that problem had the largest possible base, and that was a lot of people with a dream aren't getting over the edge with a website. And we saw our competitors charging on the low end $2,500 for a basic website.
Sure.
And so we started with the price problem because we're trying to solve the problem. But to your point, now that we're trying to scale, right, we're encountering major labor challenges because we don't have the margins we need. And people are having a tough experience, and we recognize it. Like, we have a large focus on customer connection, because a client will pay bottom dollar, $250 one-time setup fee and $45 a month. For that, you should just be staring at the website, babysitting it. You shouldn't be doing anything at that price.
That's like a splash page.
Yeah, it should be. But we actually do like a whole thing because we want to over-deliver. And we thought the value we could bring, it would really get people to get in line with the experience we were trying to create. But what we find is they're still pounding their head against a wall because they haven't paid for the profit margins for the white glove, right? And I would have thought, coming out of the hypothesis was, if I provide this value, you know that you're not getting white glove, because we've already set that expectation.
They don't care.
But they don't care. They said, I paid bottom dollar, but I still want white glove. And it's like, well, I mean, no. And so we're now faced with a major decision. This is our bread and butter, and this makes a huge part of our business, and we can scale what we're doing. But people are still having a moderate experience. So you're really challenging me on this. Everyone's telling me raise your prices, and I know that. But
nobody wants a bad experience.
That's good.
Once you take that away, once you face that reality,
yeah,
then it has to do with, okay, I know you don't want a bad experience.
Yeah.
So I could charge you this bottom rate figure,
yeah,
but then you won't have a good experience. You won't be happy with me. I won't be happy with you. And neither one of those are a good situation, right? So instead, what you got to do is be like, okay, you want a good experience.
Yeah.
Fine. I will give you a good experience, but it will cost you.
Yes.
Okay? And you will enjoy this experience and the price that you pay,
yeah,
because it is a good experience.
Wow.
And then that's it. It's a closed loop. Okay.
And then they have to own that. They have to own that equation real quick.
You know, they can always educate themselves and do it themselves for nothing.
Yeah.
But the thing about it is, you are providing a service to save them time.
Yeah.
See, the number one thing that I think businesses screw up is not realizing what they are selling.
Yeah.
You are selling, first and foremost, me for 100% of the time, I do not sell travel. I don't sell experiences. What I sell is saving you time. Everybody in the world can do everything that I do. They don't have the knowledge base or the creativity or the ability to do that.
Yeah.
But they can.
Yeah.
But what I save them is time. Because here's the thing is, 100% of my clients are busy. Yeah. They have families, kids, school, work, the you know, bowling or whatever they do for fun on the weekends, yeah, like, you know, whatever it is, they have a life. And that life has no space to spend 40 to 60 hours researching a new thing.
Yeah.
And then how much fun really is it once you've done all that work? Like, yeah,
it's actually taking the mystery out of it.
It takes all the mystery out of it.
So hang on real quick. For the sake of time, let's just catch this on camera. What is
the 007 experience?
Well, I don't even think we have time for that, but I want them to see that. What is the domain for Lugos first?
LugosTravel.com, LUGOS. That was the ancient god of all arts and the protector of all travelers in France before Julius Caesar conquered it.
And their epic experience you've got to check out now is the 007.
The 007. If you've ever wanted to be 007 or James Bond,
yes,
what we have done is created an ability to do that, and I'll synopsize that in just a few seconds.
Yep.
So what we did is we took together all of the experience that we have over the last seven years and put it together with something that doesn't exist anywhere else on Earth. And it begins with 3 days at a U.S. government-approved training facility where the client will do shooting from helicopters, performance driving lessons, SWAT incursion techniques, and multiple other things that we really can't describe. At the end of those 3 days, the client will receive custom-made gadgetry that is in-house made, and instructions. And then we will send you home to chill out for just a small bit. If the client can afford to pick up and go whenever we want, we will give them 24 hours of notice and say it's time to go. And where they go will be Northern Italy. For 8 days, we will have a Hollywood script written, choose your own adventure, live action role play game centered around the client being James Bond. It will have real actors, not just any actors, but a very specific kind that have a psychological background that are designed to further the story. And so we do that for the very specific reason that the client is 100% in control and the story evolves and revolves around them at all points. So any decision that they make, any place they wish to go, anything they wish to choose is theirs to do immediately, and we work the story around it. It will include an ex-CIA officer and ex-Navy SEAL taking security, surveillance, and videography so that we can produce a fully formed video at the end of the experience for the client. And it includes, because I have never seen James Bond with a suitcase, all 8 days custom-tailored clothes suited to every occasion, delivered to the hotel, as well as toiletries, top to bottom, shoes.
I want this now.
Okay. Those are theirs to keep. At the end of the 8 days, once they have, we assume, beaten Spectre, then we will fly them and concurrently their significant other to Jamaica for an additional 5 days at the actual estate where Sir Ian Fleming wrote the books, all inclusive with absolutely everything, business class flights, and all expenses at $364,000.
That is amazing. We have amazing
one slot left for next year.
And that last Jamaica stop, that's where like the camera pans out and they're snuggling in the surf.
That's precisely what that's
What's the domain for that?
That is it, experience007.com.
That's awesome, dude. Well, thank you. I really appreciate this, man. I really appreciate your time. Check out all of Shane's stuff. It's phenomenal. And check out, you've got to go on these trips. I know that this is like the trip freaking I want. I did not realize you got the whole suit. You said the suit, and for some reason something clicked.
Not just the suit. Every single occasion that will come up as a result of the story.
Yeah, man.
So the story includes, you know, obviously an Aston Martin, a helicopter.
Oh my God.
The suites we have picked are $2,000 a night suites. I mean, they're the top of the top of everything that you can imagine.
Wow. That is phenomenal.
There are no expenses. This is the Jurassic Park of tours.
It is.
No expense.
That is hilarious.